Some people nail it, some people take a little bit longer. But if you're really passionate about what you want to do, go for it.
Welcome aboard the High Flow Media Podcast, dedicated to sharing the stories and experiences of the amazing people who make aviation happen. From pilots like me, to engineers, air traffic controllers and others. I'll explore their personal journeys, the challenges they've faced and the triumphs they've achieved. My name is Damien, and I'll be your host. Whether you're a seasoned aviation enthusiast or new to the field, I invite you to join me as we take off on this journey of discovery. Today, we're thrilled to have Catherine Seitz, a student pilot and aviation enthusiast. Get ready to be inspired as we delve into Catherine's boundless love for all things aviation and her efforts to unite fellow enthusiasts through the Aviation Lovers Queensland Facebook page and group. Catherine, thanks for taking time out on your Sunday afternoon to bless our lives.
G'day.
Now, you can't see this, listeners, but I can see Catherine sitting there proudly with her Aviation Lovers Queensland polo shirt on. And I don't know, maybe there's two display cabinets behind her and there would have to be 50-odd pieces of aviation memorabilia from model planes to Air Force mugs to you name it. So, Catherine, I'm suspecting that you like planes.
Maybe just a little.
Just a little. Just a little. Tell us a bit about that. Where did it all start?
Well, believe it or not, I think it's not until I was 30 that it actually started in a Tiger Moth flight. And you'll see, if you ever go onto ALQ, a special yellow Tiger Moth called Contessa. It was a birthday present that my hubby organised, and at that time I was actually scared of heights, but this was so cool. So I remember taking off at Caboolture, which everything seems to happen back at Caboolture, with my eyes closed, and then I opened it and tapped the floor, and I'm thinking, there's nothing between me and the airplane apart from some air.
Yeah, you were in the ground.
Some air and metal,
yeah,
but it's actually fabric.
Yep.
And then flying over Bribie has a sense of magic. I looked over and the water's like five shades of blue, and it kind of doesn't help when you're learning either, but it's just magic. And then I thought, why isn't many people doing this? Yeah, and I landed and I was over the moon that I think that, like everything I do in aviation, once I've had a joy flight and that, it takes me 2 weeks to calm down. 2 weeks.
I heard that about you. I was actually interviewing Paul Strike in one of the earlier episodes, and then Greg, who I believe you know. And mm-hmm. And it was, for the listeners, it was Paul and Greg after, I think it was Greg's interview. They said, there's a lady you have to meet because she, anything with aviation, she's just super excited. So here we are.
Well, yes. And I think as a kid, the funny thing is everything was indirect with aviation, and I was going back and I used to play with the little toy planes. I was lucky enough to live in South Australia where Edinburgh was behind me and watched jets do. Yeah, well, I remember as a kid walking out and here's two jets doing a vertical climb, like literally climbing up. And I don't know where they went, but it's like, well, that's how you take off at Edinburgh, I suppose.
But vertically.
Yes, vertically. They did it because there was no air show, and I don't think I've ever really heard the jets. And then when you go into the city from where I lived in Elizabeth, you pass Parafield,
right.
And I remember every so often I used to look at out the window, and there's all your runway markers, and I didn't realize how close it was when I was older, but going back there, and I'm like, it was sort of quiet back then. You didn't really see aircraft flying, but you knew it was there. So you just look out the window, I'm like, nah, not today. They're not flying today.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so you mentioned that your husband maybe regrettably now, considering you're starting to learn to fly, he gave you an adventure flight, I guess it probably was, in a Tiger Moth.
So with Cliff, he's been supportive of my aviation habits and flying and everything, and he knew that somehow my radar picked up that he knew that I loved aeroplanes, because as a kid I'm always looking up doing the plane spotting, and when I did my first trip on a big passenger liner, Australian Airlines, that's how old, in 92, we always constantly looked up for the blue belly. Mm-hmm. You know how they all of them got a signature on their bellies, and so we call it the blue belly, and then that slowly disappeared, but we always still looked up. And then he gathered the family and said, oh, I think we should give her a joy flight. And lo and behold, when I realized I was getting a tiger moth flight, I was in happy tears.
It was incredible.
It was just like, oh, okay. And I'm like, wait, I'm still frightened of heights. it's gone now. It's like, that's my signature when I talk to people. And so not bad for someone who's frightened of heights.
That's right. I'm not good up a ladder, but I was fine in a plane. I do remember one time it was when I was solo. So I was going out when I had my GFPT, I was going down to the training area and I trained in Toowoomba. And so I took off on runway on 29 out to the west and I turned on a crosswind and I in a tomahawk and I just had this like, my good, what am I doing? Like I was in a little bit of fear. What am I doing? And I had this realization because I've kind of, you know, for those of you who haven't been in a small plane like this, next time you jump in your car, just sit there and have a look at the width of the door. And here was this width of the door of the tomahawk, which is probably skinnier than my car door. And it was kind of the same sensation you had. My feet, I could feel on the ground and on the rudder pedals, but then I'm like, there's nothing below me. And I knew I was at like 600 feet and what am I doing? And that was my moment of fear for me. I haven't had really another one that wasn't induced by something else, but I had that same kind of experience.
Well, looking back, my fear wasn't anything to do with aeroplanes. It was a roller coaster thing. So unfortunately, I was in the echo and probably a little bit too skinny. And I thought, oh, what goes up must come down. And if I didn't hold on for dear life, I would have been face planted in something.
So I understand at the moment you're flying with Strike Aviation Training. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Have you only flown with Strike Aviation Training?
I haven't always flown. I used to fly a Cessna. I found with the Cessna I was in a glass cockpit and that wasn't really me. Mm-hmm. Even though I got to climbing in a Cessna, which when you're still getting used to the height thing, the height's such a weird attitude when you're doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. Strike opened, I decided to join with them because for me they did RAOs. Mm-hmm. And RAOs for someone who just wants to generally fly to me is much more decent.
Well, it's 100% it's more economical, that's for sure. And let's face it, for a private pilot, as long as you're not wanting to take more than one other person, it's pretty much all you need. You can fly some very nice RAOs planes.
I came across RAOs in Lismore and now the fellow that was, I think it was Neil. Neil, I think he was doing the presentation.
Neil Schaefer.
And he gave such a brilliant talk into RAOs and the differences and where you want to go. And I thought, what's this RAOs thing? What's this RAOs we speak of? And then I looked into it and I thought, oh, it makes more sense. Mm. And I've done everything the long way around. And to me, to fly a Cessna was expensive, so I couldn't go as frequently as everybody would like to go flying. And I thought, oh, this is long way. And then I went to the Strikes for the open day and I thought, I'll give this a go. And I'm still there. So to me, the way that they train and the way that they welcome you is just, to me, it's kind of feels like home.
I mean, I haven't flown with Paul. I've known Paul for over 10 years. And when I do eventually regain my aviation medical, that's who I'll fly with. I have no interest in flying with anyone else because of, I know he's a professional and I know he's a professional pilot, but it's what's outside of that as well, you know. So you are part of the family when you go there. It's just
you are
different.
You the way I've had I went with all of them and all of them bring to the table something that you can take home and learn and do it. And the way that they teach is with you in your element. So
that's right.
What you don't understand, they'll take it, they'll hash it out. I don't know if that's a word.
Break it down.
Talk it out, yeah. Break it down, brief it out and say, do this. And then I always felt when I was with all the Cessnas and stuff, I don't know, it's the way that they go, I guess, they teach or things. It was just, but with those guys, I actually felt like I was learning something, and I've gone up to them so many times. I'm like, I can't believe how far I've come. And I love that.
So where are you up to now in your flight training? What have you, what did you do in your last lesson?
I'm up to circuit. It says the circuit's ones where you're excited because you've got to keep it real and keep the consistency together and stuff. So
yes.
I'm trying to keep that consistency to get there. But
the key there is the briefing, right? So it's that self-talk. It's going through the process. And I love circuits. Like at the time I didn't think too much of circuits, and if you look at my logbook, there is so many sessions of circuits in there. But it's the combination of the climbing turns, straight level flight, although not for long, doing your bump checks, your downwind checks, and then descending turn, and then the approach and the landing. You got all that in like, I don't know, 6 minutes? So there's a lot to do in a circuit.
I actually don't mind the circuits. I know when you first start them, they're messy as hell. And then you're like, oh, yeah. But when the plane gets up there and I'm like, 500 feet, oh, we've got a turn. Okay, she's already at 500 feet. It was like, that was quick.
Yeah.
And then you're like, even when you're doing a flapless landing and you're like, you're so used to doing all the checks and you're going through and like, and I usually say to the instructor, force of habit.
Yeah.
Force of habit. And then I've done some emergency procedures and my first thought is like, yeah, expect the unexpected, as they say.
That's it. The last, what was called a biennial flight review that I had was with a chap by the name of Paul McEwen, who flies for Bonza. He flies one of their 73s now. And we flew from Gympie down to Sunshine Coast and then back up to Gympie. And on that flight back from Sunshine Coast to Gympie, I must have had like a dozen practice forced landings. He just kept doing it. Over and over and over to, again, even to the point where we got in the circuit in Gympie and I was on downwind and practice force. I had to do a circling approach, a glide approach, and that was my full stop. But I was a little bit, at the time I was not really ticked, but I was a little bit, oh, come on, we've had enough of these. But when we debriefed, he just said you can't practice them enough because you got to have experience in all these different locations and situations because you don't know when it's going to happen. It's not going to happen over the top of a runway. It's very unlikely. So, yeah, but you got to know your procedures, right?
Well, yeah, so when you're doing your circuits and two, it's not the same everywhere, which I've got to keep reminding myself. Mm-hmm. Like the other day I was coming in on 2-4 and I'm like, oh, where's my aiming point going to be? And my first point was this little patchy green grass. And I thought, no, that's a bit stupid. I'm not getting this. I seem to want to be landing right near the threshold keys. So, and then I thought, oh, I might use those boundary markers. And since it was a lot better at rock. And they say that, you know, you got to just focus on the runway. You know?
Yeah, like, you got to build a sight picture.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, well, especially if you're going to navigate somewhere to like Kilcoy or something and you don't really know that airfield. And I thought, that makes a lot of sense.
I took my wife and we flew for my hour building for commercial. We took off from Toowoomba and we flew out to Tibooburra, which is just south of the Queensland border in New South Wales, kind of near Cameron's Corner.
Wow.
Never landed there. And then we flew to Arkaroola, which is like a 600-metre shale strip next to the Flinders Ranges. I'd never landed there. We flew to William Creek. I'd never landed there. We flew to Maree. I'd never landed there. We flew to Broken Hill. I'd never landed there. Flew to Bourke. I'd never landed there. So all of these runways I had to land at, I'd never landed at. I'd never seen a picture of them. But I can tell you it's that sight picture. When you're coming in, you just make it look the same as where you're used to landing and you'll nail it every time.
When I do get my license, I want to go to Parafield and do a bit of they're a bit of a look at me now. It's like, I made it somewhere.
That'd be an awesome adventure from Caboolture to Parafield and back. So tell us a little bit about Aviation Lovers Queensland. How did that start up and what's your desires there? What's happening?
How it started is we went out to Archer Falls. I don't know if you've heard of Archer Falls. Mm-hmm. And we went there because they were having a bit of a shindig on. It was like old terms, but shindig. And so we were kind of cool because people were flying in and there was cars. It was like a Wings and Wheels kind of day. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's why I met Lockie for the first time. Lockie, the young kid that did the solo around the world.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was preparing to go at that time, and I didn't even know that, but I got to talk to him. And for a young kid, I was so inspired by him because he could talk really well and professionally, and I'm like, you're cool. You're cool. And then we they were doing joy flights out of there too, so you can pay a couple of bucks. So my husband decided to this was part of a memorable moment is he went up to Colin Appleton, and they were doing thing in an extra 300 mad. That's a mad plane.
Colin Appleton, he's a aerobatic pilot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my first taste of aerobatics was in an extra with my husband saying, give him the works. Give
Holy
him the works.
Cow.
And that's not what I said. So when he took off in the extra, I thought my husband was taken off at the lights. And he's just like, I'm like, oh, crap. And then I actually did half of that with my eyes closed because I was still frightened of heights.
Oh, no. And
so when I left, apart from oh my God, what did I just do? And I thought, people need to know about this because I never really knew much about a lot of things that happen in aviation unless you're sort of in a circuit or things are like, oh, I wonder if there's other people that are in the same boat that like aeroplanes but don't really know where to go. So that's how ALQ was born in 2016. So she's still a bit of a baby, but she's grown since, and I've never been so more excited about it. And then it's weird because people do actually recognize you.
Mm-hmm.
So you do get spotted like, hey, Catherine, how's your flights going? Or, hey, Catherine, you know about that air show? And I'm like, yes. And I just want people just to talk about all sorts of aircraft, not be aircraft specific. So when they post things, I say to people like, oh, if you've got an event, just post it. Mm. Just post it. And that way I get to know what's going on too.
So where do you want to see it go?
I just hope long after I'm gone that people still congregate on there and still talk about the love of aviation, keep inspiring other people as mm-hmm. well. So mm-hmm. even if people post stuff of their joy flights or things that they've done or nice museums that no one's heard of yet or been to a museum or going away or been on anything aviation or helicopter rides or something, that people still come there and just keep on posting.
Yeah, spread the word.
Keep on posting.
And what about your aviation desires or goals as far as flying goes?
Now, when you first start, you kind of feel top gunny afterwards. So you kind of like after you get in there and you're like, you hear the theme song with the anthem. And but I thought, where did I want to go? Because a lot of people ask you, are you going to go commercial? And I thought, you know what, being 40 and trying to squish in everything that you need to do now, it'll be harder for me to learn commercial. But then I thought, you know what, I want to do a bit of tail dragging, mm-hmm. Get in a tail dragon and do some aerobatics as well. That might be on the cards. But I think if I wanted to, I would like to learn how to fly a tiger moth.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. There's a tail dragger.
Yeah, it's a tail dragger. So if I learn tail dragger, I've got one part sorted. Now I need to work out how to start the thing. I think because I like the idea of keeping history alive, and there's a lot of things that the younger generation may not respect or understand as well. So for me, if you, with for me, when I volunteered in the Tavis Museum, my eyes was open to World War One.
So just for the listeners, what is the Tavis Museum?
The Tavis Museum was dedicated to aeroplanes in from 1901 to 1920s, late 1920s.
Yeah, okay.
And it had, obviously, people know the Red Baron, which my first thought was he is a fictional character that, you know, everyone obsessed with. But he's true. So he flew the Fokker DR1 and they had the Eindecker and they had a Bristol F2B fighter and a Newport. And the way that they had to train was a lot more dangerous than the way that we train now. Mm. And some of them, it was a one-seater. So I thought, you have to have nerves of steel to fly those things.
Mm. So I've seen the Tavis planes fly, and that was about a decade ago, and that was at Caboolture.
Best air shows at Caboolture.
It was awesome. So the Australian Vintage Aviation Society, are they still flying? Is the museum still open?
No, unfortunately. They're not there anymore, but that place always holds a special place in my heart because it opened to me to a whole new world of aircraft and history.
So back to your goals and desires, where you want to go with it. So you want to do tailwheel, you want to fly a Tiger Moth.
Well, yeah, so I thought, I want to do the passenger endorsement, and then the first person I want to take up is my husband and anyone else who's not frightened of heights.
So can you tell us about a memorable experience you've had flying a particular aircraft and what made it special to you?
Well, as I said, there were so many. The first one's Contessa, the Tiger Moth.
Of course.
And then I had the Extra 300. That was amazing. I did a decathlon flight with aerobatics, Valentine's Day. And then Archerfield had a open day and we went there. And you pay a buck and you get a seat and a citation. And, that was epic.
What's one of your most fear-filled flight experiences?
I think the first feared one was the Extra because it was like I didn't know aerobatics, you're manoeuvring a plane outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're all fearful. I think they're more learning curves.
I like it. So if you were given an expense-free opportunity to be endorsed on any airframe, which would it be and why?
I'm going to go with the Tiger Moth.
Ah.
Because there's so much more to learn about how, because when you see them hand start and you go, I always laugh watching them because you have to have your chocks and they're hand propping the plane. And I thought, wouldn't you be that unlucky soul if it ran off on you? And I was fascinated how to start it, like I can handle it. You know, when you go up and they give you a little bit of a hand experience and the first time I went up, I actually poked the control column and said, you can have it back now, because I had a fear that I was going to flip the plane in the air.
Yeah, right.
And then I did a reunion in it and I've been in other Tiger Moths and I'm doing steeper turns in it. And I thought, maybe this would be a perfect thing to learn. So I want to do the Team Tiger Moth.
Mm-hmm.
That would be perfect.
That's cool. And finally, what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out in aviation? Maybe some resources or support systems. What do you reckon they should do?
I talk to people and I try and give them advice. And believe it or not, most of those people on ALQ are inspired by my learning. They see all the posts that I put up of today we did a good day or today was the hard yards, but I still love it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that the first part would be save enough to do lessons every week if you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that instructors just say, you know, just to keep it up for the thing. It actually proves a point. So the more constant you are together, the more further you get.
Oh, totally. I remember when I started flying, I was doing 1 week, a lesson every 2 weeks. And I remember my instructor, primary instructor, his name was Kane Binney, and I remember him saying to me, Damien, if you want to progress, you really need to be here at least once a week, preferably twice a week. And of course, as the skeptic, you know, I wasn't 18, I was 30. I had three kids at home at the time. I was thinking, oh, it's just a cash grab. But he wasn't. He was dead right, because when I did end up flying, I was flying 2 to 3 times a week. But even when I went to once a week, the consolidation certainly helped the muscle memory, you know, visualizing, all that kind of thing. It all just came together. The more I could get in the cockpit, the more it all came together, and the faster it came together.
I was lucky enough to do it once a month, but when I was flying Cessnas, that was more expensive to me. So if you're doing it at an older age, I'm doing it at 40, so I'm funding myself, put aside enough to keep you going for a week. Fortunately, you'd probably have to say no to joy flights, which is horrible. It's the worst thing in the world. Read the flight training book. I love Bob Tate books because they're much more fun to read. I'm a visualist person, and when I was reading Bob Tate, I chuckled to myself some of the diagrams, but he cuts out a lot of the, excuse the terminology, crap, but just puts it in a perspective. And read a chapter ahead if you can, because I felt like I was unprepared when I first started because I had no idea which book to read. And do a trial flight. So you find that trial flights will help you just decide whether you want to continue on or if you like the flight school. When you go with them, you'll feel comfortable or you don't. Mm-hmm. And with me, I'm fortunate that when I went to Strike Aviation, I loved the way that they taught. So it's sort of like on a level with you. So it'll be with you. So if you didn't understand, you could actually go up to there and say, oh, I didn't quite get this. Why is that? And they'll go through it with you. They're more than happy to help you. So that's why I feel like I'm fortunate. I am where I need to be is because I did that trial flight. I knew that I could do it, and they help you along, and that's what you need in a flight school. So I think when you've got the instructors that are willing to spend the time and talk through with the process and their understandings, then you're in the perfect realm. I've been fortunate now. I'm in a great place where I've met great people along the way, words of encouragement. When people I hate the term, are you solo yet? Because I feel like that's more pressure on me to be where everybody else is, but I'm learning at my own pace. Mm-hmm. So go with your flow. Some people nail it. Some people take a little bit longer. But if you're really passionate about what you want to do, go for it.
And I think the key too, Catherine, is it needs to take as long as it needs to take. Because obviously you need to be safe and competent, and you need to enjoy that journey, right? So if it takes you twice as long to get to solo as the average learner pilot, who cares? As long as you've enjoyed the journey.
I think I say you've got to learn to crawl before you walk. Everyone loves all the little milestones that they do, and you get excited for it. So when I tick them off, I'm like highlighting all the parts that I've learned.
That's cool.
When I do get the solo and get the license, at the end of it, I'm going to be so proud because I did the hard yards.
And the one thing that I've picked up from our conversation in talking to you is it's just one step at a time. Back yourself. You've got this. You know, it's having that ethos, I think, is a very, very positive thing that can help anyone get through any dilemma or trial or challenge, but certainly with aviation. We extend our warmest thanks to Catherine for taking us on a soaring journey through her aviation adventure to date. Her unwavering excitement for flying is a testament to the true spirit of aviators. Her passion for flying and dedication to promoting aviation in Queensland are truly inspiring. Whether it's soaring through the skies or hitting the theory books on the ground, Catherine's love for flight knows no bounds. Thanks so much for coming on, Catherine, and we'll definitely catch up in person. No doubt we'll bump into each other down at Strike Aviation Training at some point.
Thanks to everybody who supports ALQ as well, and actually, believe it or not, tell me how much I inspire them. So I'd like to thank everybody who's helped me along the way, and I hope to keep on inspiring and just enjoy the journey as wherever it takes me.
And that's the key, Catherine. Enjoy the journey. Join us next time for more fascinating discussions. Subscribe now on your favourite podcast platform, and if you'd like to help out, feel free to leave a review. That'll help spread the word. Alternatively, you can listen to the podcast on the High Fly Media YouTube channel. Music for the podcast is titled Dance With Me by Asher Lee, available at upbeat.io. The High Fly Media Podcast, uncovering the people and passion behind aviation, one story at a time.